have many ways to use adaptive technology on a computer these days. And so what I would like, and I have asked them to do, is to ask Christopher Millsap and Dan Tavelty to demonstrate some large print speech and braille options on a computer that either can be used in and of themselves or in combination with one another. So if they are now ready, I am going to call on Christopher Millsap and Dan Tavelty.
So thank you, Denise, and everyone else for inviting us to this presentation. And what I'd like to talk about today, which many of you are probably already familiar with, is the assistive technologies that we use every day, whether it's in a work setting or at home. And the technologies that we're going to cover are refreshable braille displays, both in a computer and a note taker. Also, quick overview of some things that you can do with JAWS and NVDA. And Chris is going to talk about low vision solutions with Zoom Text. So first of all, I would like to start by just a short overview of what type of things that people typically use assistive technology for. Things would be like working in an office, doing social media, sending email to friends and family, sending text messages, using Facebook, Twitter, etc. And I'd like to stress the importance of the fact that as good as the assistive technology that we have is, really technology is only as good as the uses that you put it to. So if you don't have a good use for the technology, then the technology doesn't serve a purpose. What I really mean is that assistive technology is not an end in and of itself. So what I have set up here is I have a focus braille display hooked to a computer running JAWS 15. I have a BrailleSense note taker, and Chris has another computer with Zoom Text and NVDA on it. And those are the things that we are going to demonstrate. Hopefully I can cover a bit of everything. Now, basically, for those who don't know, a refreshable braille display is basically an electromechanical device that converts text into braille. And as you're typing or scrolling around the screen, you can review that text. In fact, I'm reviewing on my note taker as we're talking. And there are some real advantages of braille over speech in many computer applications. For example, if you are using a screen reader and you're only using speech and you encounter homonyms, you might not know which word is actually there. For example, P-A-E-R versus P-A-I-R. But if you're using a braille display in front of you, you would know which word was there. Something else I've noticed, which I didn't write in my outline, is I have often noticed that when people type, they spell phonetically based on what they hear their screen reader say. So I've seen some funny spellings of things I can't think of. Oh, yes, I was reading a presentation, an invitation to a computer presentation a few months ago, and I was shocked to see that the person who wrote the document spelled Wabash with an L in it. I thought, Wabash, and I thought, what's this? And another interesting thing is, I don't know how many different spellings of the word iPhone I have seen from people who don't use Braille. I've seen capital I, P-H-O-N-E, capital I, capital P-H-O-N-E, and of course, many of us should know it's really a small I and a capital P-H-O-N-E. And that's just one example of many where if you don't use Braille, you might not have caught that because your screen reader might not tell you that something is capitalized unless you interrogate each character. So I have JAWS set up here, and the computer I'm using, it's right in front of me now. Unfortunately, we couldn't get Microsoft Office to work on it. So what I'm going to do is just go into Notepad and do some demonstrate some simple. How am I going to do this? Can you? A little closer? Thanks. So I've got this Braille display hooked up, and I've
easy
got
cursor.
Oops, and I've got JAWS running. Let's see where I am in JAWS.
Title is.
Okay, so I'm going to hit Control Escape and go to the
Control Escape menu.
This is Windows 7.
With JAWS 15.0 left paired end, Notepad submenus, enter. Leaving menus, untitled dash Notepad, edit, type and text.
Now one of the things that I can do, I don't know, I'm going to type some text. Maybe I'll turn the
words. Both care none.
Since this is so loud, I might just type the text first. I type, this is the time that all good people come to the aid of their country.
Character words. Both characters, none. Characters.
And the reason I did turn the speech off for a second is it seems kind of loud.
Lines.
Oops.
Sentences, paragraphs. Display added.
Is it too fast?
Yeah, it is, probably
lines.
For most people.
Okay, let me...
I also turned it down.
JAWS. JAWS. J-J-J-A. Oops. Escape, escape, escape.
Oh, crap.
JAWS version 15.0.12085. Control escape, menu, search box edit. A, double S, JAWS 15, enter, leaving menus.
Oh, okay.
Menu, pop, utilities, new. Options, menu, up, voices sub, braille, dot, 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 voices sub, enter, voices, select the voice adjustment, dot, dot, select the voice adjustment, select the voice adjustment, dot, add.
Oh.
Select the voice adjust, select the voice profile, enter, leaving menu, SAP 5 dash left parent factory right, eloquence, tab, for its space, tab, okay button to activate, press space bar.
How do I change
escape, 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 escape.
How do I change speech rate on the fly with JAWS?
Control.
Let me try that. Okay.
Slower, slower, slow, slower, slower, slower.
Is that slow enough?
Title is JAWS. Control Windows Live Mail. JAWS 15. JAWS 15.0 left paired end. Notepad submenu 7/3. Enter. Leaving menu. Untitled dash notepad. Edit. Type and text.
Okay.
Slower. Slower. Slower.
Okay. I got it.
Land.
Okay. So I wrote. Well, I lost the text.
Space.
Now I have some text on the screen, and my typing isn't always so good.
Sentences.
So I'm going to
desktop folder view list view not selected JAWS 15.0 alt tab leaving menus folder view list view not selected
alt tab. I do not know the focus
alt tab untitled dash notepad untitled dash notepad edit type and
so I am sorry I'm back to where I was control is it still too fast?
Slightly.
Okay.
Slower. 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 Slow. 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 Slower. OT.
Yeah. So I've written some text on the screen, and I want to see if I spelled anything incorrectly. And yes, I see. I put a J in the word country. And because I'm a lousy
this
typist.
This is the time for all good.
So I am moving. I am routing the cursor with the cursor routing buttons to check the text to see if I have spelled things correctly. And that's one of the things I like about a Braille display at work, to do things, whether I'm proofreading an email or doing programming or things like that. I like to have the flexibility to have Braille right in front of me and be able to check my punctuation and spelling and things like that. The other area where Braille is very useful is I do computer programming and support of mainframe applications, and there are lots of types of text that would really, if you had them read by a screen reader, would be pretty difficult to understand. The speech would come out as gibberish. So this is where a Braille display is really indispensable for the type of work that I do. And there are other areas where a Braille display might be helpful, other than technical issues with programming. A person studying a foreign language might benefit from using a display so they could see special characters in the foreign language, because not everyone has a screen reader that supports that they would have to switch the language as they're working. If you were using a Braille display, you might not necessarily have to always switch your spoken language. And I don't use foreign languages right now on a computer, but I'm sure there are situations where that might come in handy. Another issue where Braille is helpful is for someone who has a visual and hearing impairment where they cannot use spoken speech. That's a very important issue. So these are situations where Braille comes in very helpful. Braille displays come in several sizes. There are small displays with maybe up between, let's say a dozen to 18 to 20 cells that are Bluetooth devices that are used with phones, and you can use them with computers as well. And then there are often 40 cell or 80 cell displays. This display in front of me that I have with JAWS is a 40 cell display that I borrowed from Denise. I also have a BrailleSense note taker, which I'm using to read the text of the outline that I wrote, that Chris wrote, and that's an 18 cell device. And what's nice about that is he wrote this in Microsoft Word, and I am reading it on the note taker in contracted grade 2 Braille because the note taker supports it. I'm using a BrailleSense U2 Mini. It's one of the mini note takers on the market. And another issue I would like to touch on with Braille is that there are some drawbacks. Braille is expensive, and sometimes the devices do become obsolete rather quickly. However, as we've talked about all day, the importance of Braille, I can't overstress how literacy really makes a difference into being able to be productive in work or at school or any other situation. Oh, thank you. Well, I wasn't expecting any applause yet. Well, actually, yeah. I appreciate that. And another thing that's good about Braille devices now is that you can use them with a computer or you can use them with a phone. I often, for personal use, I very rarely use a computer. I use my phone for almost everything. And that's something I could demonstrate if people wanted to see how that worked. I could demonstrate how the BrailleSense works with a phone. The only reason that I work in the Windows environment at all, really, is because that's what we use in my office. And so, well, it's neither here nor there. So, but Braille is helpful because you can, it's flexible with this. It works in the Mac and the Windows and Android and even Linux environments. I do not have any experience with Android or Linux, but I have used Braille with Windows or the iPhone, and it works very well with those things. Now, there is an issue. I won't go into great detail about it because it's probably covered elsewhere, but I could touch about it. There's a lot of disputes right now between should a person use a note taker or for Braille, or should they use a display paired with an iPhone. Now, I tend to think that it's not an either-or situation because there are situations where the phone can do some things more efficiently, but there are other situations where the note taker might be more efficient. For example, with the phone, I can easily post to social media or log into my bank and check my balance or type email, or read a book, or any other kind of situation where a person would use a phone. Another advantage with using a phone with Braille is that sometimes if you're in a noisy environment and you have, even if you have earphones, you might not hear what's going on, but if you have a Braille display with you that supplements the information that you would hear. Now, the disadvantage of a Braille display with a phone is that you have to worry about two devices' batteries, what state they're in. I don't know how many times I've been busy typing away on a phone, and all of a sudden on my Braille display I see battery low.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, what do I do now? Well, so then I have to either unpair the device or I have to go over to the phone and start typing, touch typing on the phone, which I really don't enjoy doing. I only do it when I have to. And, excuse me. But another advantage of the note taker over the phone is that, unfortunately, the VoiceOver Braille driver does not support the level of navigation in documents that a note taker does. I have yet to see situations where in a document on a phone you could move by sentence or paragraph. You can move by word and by character, and if you're lucky with the latest version of iOS, you can route the cursor to the right place. I don't know how many times I've been typing a text message on the phone and I hear a mistake or I see and I go to route the cursor there and the cursor goes to the top of the message. Well, that wouldn't happen with my note taker. I find that when I am navigating with my note taker, the response is almost 100%. And that also leads to another advantage of the note taker over the phone. The operating system is a closed environment, which has been designed for the blind person, so the accessibility is never an issue. And I don't know how many things I've been able to do with my Braille Sense that I can do almost with 100% accuracy that I can't do with a phone. The Braille Sense supports reading documents in Word, plain text. I should say Word, RTF, I think EPUB, although I haven't tried. I've tried that. It supports computer Braille, what they call grade one. I'm not quite sure what that means. I never use it. And grade two, and also UEB Braille. It supports all those things. It also has interfaces for Facebook, Twitter, and Dropbox. In fact, to my knowledge, it's the only note taker I know of that you can use Dropbox on it. And one of the things I like is if I get my church bulletin and I'm checking my iPhone and I want to read the text of something, I will open the document on the phone and pick share, and I will share it to Dropbox. Then as soon as I find a hotspot or some kind of connection, I will use the Braille Sense and log into Dropbox and copy the document and read it in Braille. And that's pretty cool. I don't even always need to have a computer with me. I can cover the speech and Braille solutions using the note taker by itself or in combination with the phone. And I don't know what the future holds for note takers. It's really an open question. But I think it depends on what happens with the price of refreshable Braille. It sounds like, from what Jim Gashel said this morning, that there, this project that he's involved with could result in a lower price product. And I certainly think that would be good for everybody, whether you're using a note taker or using a display with a computer or a phone. And I've done the JAWS demonstration. I don't know if anyone has any question about using a computer on the internet with a screen reader. No?
Dan, can we move on to the large print? Chris?
Okay, I didn't realize the time flew. I'm sorry.
Okay. And if there's time, we can go back to questions.
Okay.
So what I'm going to cover is large print, primarily in the Windows environment. The first thing I'm going to cover is built-in large print, which starting in Windows 7, a zoom function for Windows was built in to the operating system that you can use for free. You don't need to add any additional software. And if you press Windows Plus, let's hope this works.
Oh, there it is.
Yep. And as you can see, it's much larger.
Navigation. Start. Line and paragraph spacing. Choose how much space appears between
now,
lines.
Now, let me say about the
text
that's going on in the background.
To apply the same
this is something I thought I would
document,
would show you at the same time as I'm showing you
the
large print. There's also JAWS, which is the screen reader that Dan showed, is made by Freedom Scientific, and it's fairly costly. It costs about $1,000. But there's a screen reader called NVDA, which is Non-Visual Desktop Access, which you can download from the internet and install. And it costs nothing. So they do run the NVDA Foundation through donations, but the quality is very good. And that's where the voice is coming from now. So Windows is doing the enlarging and NVDA is doing the reading. And this is kind of a really nice solution that does not cost you a dime. And secondly, I know that a lot of people in this room are not Windows users. So on the Mac, this is also possible. The Mac has a very good screen reader built in called VoiceOver. And it also has Zoom built in, just like in Windows. Instead of hitting Windows plus to turn it on, you hit Option plus to turn it on the Mac. And that will also bring up large print. And the built-in screen magnifiers in the Mac and also in Windows will give you good magnification up to around about 8x, which is actually pretty good. If you need more than 8x, there's a program called ZoomText made by AI Squared. This is a commercial piece of software, but it does provide for fairly clean magnification all the way up to 32x. And it also provides for some additional features, such as they have some speech support built in. They have the cursor that you would use in your documents that blinks and so forth, and it's so easy to lose, they would have a highlighter above and below it, so it's easy to find. In addition to that, they have the mouse pointer in bright yellow, and it's about four times its normal size, so it's much easier to see. And if you're on a forum on the internet or something like that, it highlights the control that you're on in bright red. So if you really need other magnification solutions and what you can get from standard Windows or Mac is not enough, then ZoomText is something that you'd want to look at. In addition, for large print, both Android and iPhone and iOS devices support Zoom functionality built into the operating system. And in both cases, it is very nice. They have, not only is the magnification fairly good up to around the same, say, 6 to 8x, they can also do things like invert the colors so that where white is black, black is white, and so forth, if you prefer black on white text instead of white on black text. And they can be moved around by gestures. And so the mobile support is actually very good. I'm not sure about the situation on Windows Mobile, but since nobody uses it anyway, it really doesn't matter. Oh, on Windows Mobile? Okay, that's interesting because I haven't actually had a chance to interact with the Windows 10 phone. But anyway, so other things for large print technologically are there are, of course, optical magnifiers. You can get really good ones for very cheap on Amazon from 5 to 10x. Yeah, for less than $20 in many cases. And in addition to that, if you need more than 5 to 10x or you need some kind of special features like inverting the colors or whatever, you can get an electronic magnifier. You can get small ones for $100 to $200, or you can get full-size CCTV systems like the ones that EdV2 was showing yesterday, with the tables that you set a book on and have a camera pointed at, and you see the huge text on the screen of the book. You can get those for about $1,000 to $2,000. So there are lots of solutions for large print using technology, and it's a very good time to be a low vision user right now. Almost every platform gives you at least some support out of the box. And there are some very economical solutions for magnification in other parts of life also. So is there any question on low vision technology?
Go
ahead,
Dave.
Okay.
All right, Dave.
We're streaming.
Whoops, sorry. I guess I'm very easily confused, but question I have, Chris, is when you're talking about the technology for large print and you're talking about the magnification within Windows, that would be for the large print reader as opposed to the person actually transcribing for somebody who reads large print. Is that correct?
It is? Okay. Yes, this would be a person with low vision is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a person transcribing to large print. I'm talking about the person with, say, who is legally blind to, say, I don't know, I've seen people use successfully magnification around 8 to 10x to actually accomplish something. But that's the user I'm talking about right now, somebody who's legally blind to, say, 2400, 2600.
Chris, I have a question as far as the large print magnification, which I don't use myself, but I'm curious, there's the Magic software that I think Freedom Scientific has, and then there's AI Squared with their large print. What can you tell us, like, what really is the difference between someone maybe choosing to rely on the Windows-based or the Apple-based large print versus those softwares that's dedicated to people with low vision?
What I would say is that if you are a low vision user and you can get by with 5 to 6 times magnification, there really isn't a need for something like Magic or like Zoom Text. Because the built-in solution on the Mac or the built-in solution on the PC would probably be good enough for you. I mean, you would have to try it out, but since it's free, it doesn't cost you anything to try it out. But if you're a user who needs a little bit more magnification than that, that's the time where I would look at Magic or Zoom Text. And I would have to say, to put in a little plug for AI Squared, which I did used to work for, I have to be honest. They have a technology called XFont, which will re-render the fonts on the screen at large magnification levels on the PC for, like, say, at 12x or so, or anything beyond that, so that the fonts are actually printed in the fonts intended for a large size rather than a small size, so they don't become blocky and blurry. So that is something where that's the use case for Zoom Text on the PC and Magic would be for a user who really needs a lot of magnification but still has at least some usable vision.
What about color contrast? I know that sometimes some people, depending on what the cause of the vision loss is, they need a certain type of contrast. And maybe that, you know, I don't know this for a fact, but is that provided by Magic or Zoom Text where it wouldn't be in Windows, or is Windows capable of getting people the contrast? And I'm talking about maybe yellow on dark blue or whatever it might be.
Well, the Windows and Mac magnifiers provide for very simple kinds of color changes, such as invert colors. For example, if you just need white on black instead of black on white, you can get by with Windows or Mac.
the solutions out of the box. If you need, like you're talking about, yellow on dark blue, or you need some very special combination of colors, then that's another scenario where you might want to look at Zoom Text or Magic.
Hey, Chris, I actually had a comment. This is Byron,
yes.
The other Byron, the high-pitched one. got a quick question and comment. So as a low-vision person, I know that the spectrum of vision goes all the way from high and mighty partial to very, very low partial. And where I fall is... it's sort of near the high partial end of the scale, where using magnification does not work well for me because you only get a small portion of the screen. And I have tried that, but using magnification, you get a postage-sized stamp of the screen, but it's blown up. And so what I've tended to do over the years is apply all kinds of tricks and tips to make the font bigger throughout Windows so that I can use it. And a lot of those avenues are being cut off by Microsoft in their wisdom. So I was just wondering if you had any quick tips on that in that regard. And then the other thing I wanted to do was mention a website that I run called Low Vision Rants. And it's a place where we can get on a soapbox and talk about the low vision issues that are often ignored or not talked about in the blindness forums, email lists, and websites. So if people want to check that out, I have a lot of ranty articles there about things that suck for low vision. Like sneeze guards. Sneeze guards that make it hard for you to see the screen on the ATM. You can't get your face 2 inches from it because there's a sneeze guard over the top of it. So that's
all I
had.
It sounds like I'll be visiting your website. But anyway, what I would say, there are several possible solutions. You're right, as resolutions get crazily high, the ability to enlarge the fonts becomes, with things like DPI tricks and so forth, goes away. So what I have done at work is I have paired two monitors together. And you can do that with the Microsoft Zoom solution. And if that doesn't bother you, some people it drives crazy to have their screen split into two different monitors. But if you can get by with that, Zoom Text supports that, as does the Windows Zoom. And that's one way you can see more of your screen. If you need more than that, and it won't even fit on two monitors, what you're talking about, Zoom Text, I know, allows you to create areas on the screen which you can then jump to by keyboard shortcuts. So if you need to fix a magnified view of, say, the clock in the lower right-hand corner on Windows or whatever, you can set up a keyboard shortcut to just jump to that section of the screen.
Wait for a microphone, because you... Can someone get her a mic, please?
Hi, sorry. Just bringing it back super quickly to the Braille aspect, I just have a really quick question. When you were talking about the Braille Sense note taker, I was just wondering, like, from a professional standpoint, what is your opinion between using that in an Apex note taker in a school environment? Like, what are the pros and cons? Do you have a personal opinion on that?
Well, I have never used an Apex. I've seen it. I could be wrong, the Apex has some kind of an encyclopedia interface on it, and some kind of, I don't know if it's a dictionary, someone who has an Apex would have to...
There is actually a dictionary.
Okay.
It's actually true for both units. You can buy a dictionary for the Sense dictionary, and then there's also one for the Apex.
But I can tell you there are some things that the Braille Sense can do that the Apex cannot do. For example, there is an Excel viewer on the Braille Sense. Patty Chang and Denise sent me a Excel spreadsheet with some of the list of the room assignments, and I was able to put that in the Braille Sense and navigate it. I don't think you can do that on the Apex. The Braille Sense also supports YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. and Dropbox.
Yeah, cool. I was just kind of
PowerPoint. I forgot PowerPoint. You can read PowerPoint on the BrailleSense. I haven't really done it that much.
But can't you do that on the Apex with a flash drive?
I
don't know. I just
I don't know. You'd have to add. I don't know if it will open a PowerPoint document. I don't quote me on that one. I don't know.
Amy, but what you have to have is to make sure to be able to open the file, you'll have to have the program on the unit so that it can support the running of the application. And until you get the application on the device, you won't be able to open a PowerPoint file. You won't be able to open an Excel file. Now, I can't tell you for certain that the Apex does or does not have that. I have not used one for many years. But I use the same one that Dan uses, and I do know that the BrailleSense line of products does support all of that. The best way sometimes to evaluate whether a piece of technology is good for you is to, number one, get a hold of the company, in this case, HumanWare versus HIMSS, and talk to them about it. And they usually have local sales reps who will actually let you see the unit to see how it works. The next thing to do is get a hold of, there are plenty of listservs. And listservs are user groups. So there's one for HumanWare and the Braille Note Apex, and then there's one for the BrailleSense line of products. So you can join those listservs, even if only for a short time, and you can kind of see what problems the users have, what they like and what they don't like. You can get on and ask questions of the users, and you can also, just like you're doing here, locate people who actually use the unit. And because Braille is so expensive, that's really what you want to do, because I've had note takers that have not done what I have thought they would be able to do and thus were not good for me. But then I have, you know, the BrailleSense line of products, which I really do like, and they tend to do everything that I need to do on my job.
And also bringing up the argument when you were speaking about the note taker versus the refreshable Braille display, it is true that Braille is very expensive, but one side I just want to point out that like hasn't been mentioned is on the Braille note taker, whatever one you use, an Apex, a BrailleSense, anything, you can connect your phone or any Apple device with that, plus you have your own note taker, so it's like a two-in-one.
Actually, I did mention that.
Yes, he did. He pointed that out.
Amy, I'll point out one other thing, and don't overlook, this is a really good resource, the International Braille and Technology Center at the NFB National Office. Call them and ask. There is an absolutely wonderful woman named Ann Mason. Speak with her about note takers. In fact, the reason I got a BrailleSense a year ago was I talked to her, and she gave me all the information about all the available products and all the pros and cons of each one, and she explained things thoroughly. So I felt I made an informed decision and got something that really made me happy. So I would, before you even go to the companies, I'd go to contact Ann Mason first. I would start there and have a conversation with her. She's very helpful.
Yes, Dave.
David, I'm coming over with the mic.
Okay, we can take David and one more question.
Actually, mine's more of a comment than a question, but if you want to go online and look at a resource, go to nfb.org, go to publications, go to Braille Monitor, and I want to say that it was probably January of 2013, although I could be wrong on the year. They had a pretty exhaustive article on four different types of Braille note takers and advantages and disadvantages to each. Some of the at least one of the note takers is fairly obsolete right now, but I think two of the note takers are still pretty relevant. So that might be another place to look.
There are also a blog, I cannot remember the name of it. It's on the NFB website. There's a blog that has technology issues, and they're very in-depth, and there have been a lot of articles about using the iPhone and using note takers as note takers or using them with a phone. So there is a lot of information. You could just use Google and do a search on Braille and note taker and whatever. You'd be surprised what you would find.
We have one more question, I think. I don't know who it was.
It's Katie.
Oh, hey, Katie. Yes.
So I currently have Zoom text, but I have found out that doesn't work really well with math problems. So is there anything that works well with math?
Well, the issue with, I guess, that what you're referring to is MathML. Is that correct?
I have textbooks scanned in like PDF files, and it'll read everything and just skip over all the math characters at all.
Oh, really? So you're using DocReader or AppReader to try and read it as text, or are you using it in the magnification side and it's just not displaying things?
The AppReader and DocReader.
Okay. Well, I believe... I'm not sure if this is your issue, but I just talked with some people at AI Squared, and they told me that they're working on a bug that has to do with math ML, which is an XML description of math problems, and that hopefully the next version of ZoomText may have a fix. And in any assistive technology, I would advise that you update your assistive technology as much as possible, because the vendors are constantly... fixing the products and fixing bugs and trying to keep up with the technology. So update as much as you can. And another thing you might try, if you can get by with magnification, I would probably just use more magnification, because sometimes DocReader and AppReader are not going to be as reliable as just using magnification, if it's possible.
Thank you very much, Chris and Dan, for your presentation.
Very nice.
Marco!